If you will, turn with me to the book of Ephesians to begin with. The book of Ephesians. We're going to be going back over to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 in a moment. But the book of Ephesians chapter 1 is where I want to begin reading today. The book of Ephesians chapter number 1. If you'd stand with me, please, if you're able, that'd be a blessing. Really do appreciate each one of you being here in the house of the Lord today. Let's begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So it goes right back really to the Father of our Lord in verse number 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." You can be seated. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here today. Thank you, God, for the measure of health that we enjoy this morning. Thank you, God, that you're here for our people. And God, our people are here for you. And Lord, we ask you today to minister to our hearts. Help us, Lord, in these hours like we pray. Lord, we know that we've been through some rough waters, Lord, as far as this world goes. But Lord, we do know this, our Father, that you're still on the throne. And Lord, that you're still in control and you're our God. You're our Savior. And Lord, we're looking for you to come again. God, we want to serve you as long as we can till you come. Take us home. Help us now, Father, to glean something from the Scripture today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Scripture that I've read in your hearing today is very, very deep. I mean, it's deep when you get into it. Amen. It's very deep. Look at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 with me. And there's a reason that I'm reading these scriptures. I'm going to share a thought with you today, something that I've never really thought about before, but I want to give it to you. The Bible said in verse 16 of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory." Now, if you'll turn with me back to Luke, please, chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1. I'll give you an idea of where we're going this morning. The Bible is a wonderful book. It's a book that never grows old. It's a book that will never be mastered. Our only hope is that this book will master us. Amen. We'll never know it all. And I believe really the more we know, the more we understand that we don't know about our blessed Lord and our Savior. We've been preaching this month on Christmas. The C was for Christ. The H was for hope. The R was for redemption, righteousness, and riches. I'll never forget that riches. I told the young'uns in the devotion not long ago, if you want to feel rich, start counting all the things that you have that money cannot buy. I tell you, if you've got a good family, money can't buy that. If you've got a friend, money can't buy that. And I'll tell you this, if you've got a home in heaven, money didn't buy that. The precious blood of Jesus bought that. Amen. If we have a Bible and God's given us enough, the Spirit of God in us to help us to understand the Word of God, money can't buy that. Amen. The natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And so I began to think about Christmas, and there was the R, then there's the I, Emmanuel. C-H-R-I-S-T was for the tree, was for the cross of Calvary. And then the M was for the Magnificat, where that Mary gave us that prayer. And I love the first line, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I tell you, if you know him, surely you want to magnify him. Surely you want to be like John. He must increase, then I must decrease. Amen. And then there was the A. Let's see. I'm trying to remember now what the A stood for. It slipped me. Anointed, right? Was the anointed Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord. And today we come to another S. And the Lord has helped me to see something in the Christmas story that I want to share with you today. It's beautiful. And that is the sovereignty of our Lord. We serve a sovereign God. I wrote down the definition, actually copied it and pasted it and printed it from Webster's. And sovereignty means supreme power, especially over a body. It means freedom from external control. It means a controlling influence, one that is sovereign, an autonomous state, or supreme excellence, or an example of it. And what I'd like to do today, I've read some scripture about God. When we get saved, he has predestinated us to become conformed to the image of God's Son. I think where people get tripped up in the area of predestination is when they try to make it apply to a sinner. It does not apply to a sinner. God's will is that everyone would be saved. Amen. That God so loved the world, who will have all men to be saved. Not his will that any should perish. But when a person comes to Jesus, the Lord has already settled that one day we're going to wake in his likeness. And what a blessed day that's going to be. But as we look at the Christmas story, I want to show you some things in the sovereignty of God that I pray will help you. I've had a week with just the four walls in the bedroom, amen, and not much of an appetite at all. I'd been trying to lose weight before, but sometimes you can lose it without trying, amen. But anyway, and I've been informed by some that they found some of it. Keep it. Amen. I don't want it back. My knees don't want it back and my back don't want it back. Just go ahead and keep it. Amen. But as I've thought this week, And I mean, even on Christmas morning, it's Christmas morning, I'm sitting on the couch and I don't feel well. Sawyer and Olivia are over under the tree and the family's there, Bob and Charity. And I thought, well, it's time. I better take that test. And I took the test and then was quarantined. You know, they didn't make me quarantine. I quarantined myself. I love my family. Amen. I guess in some sense of the word, it was already too late. But I've had a lot of time to think this week. And I've been thinking along the lines of God's sovereignty. And I want to look at His sovereignty among men, His sovereignty in the ministry, and then the sovereignty with the Messiah that He sent into this world for you and for me, His supreme excellence. I've had the chance to think about the families that had Christmas, but there was an empty chair at the table. It was a face missing at the table. I had the chance to think about things. The Bible said in verse 6 of Luke chapter number 1, and they were both righteous before God. This was talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias. They were both righteous before God, before walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Here was two people that were righteous. But I want to say this. Think about this. According to Jewish history, Elizabeth is 88 years old when she gets pregnant with John. According to Jewish history, it was kind of a shame for a woman to be barren. A woman wanted to have a child, amen, when she was married. And here is Elizabeth, and she receives the announcement from the angel, you're going to have a little boy. But you can forgive me, but here's the way my mind has worked this week. How many other women were barren and didn't get that announcement from the angel? How many others, beloved, were righteous before God and walking with God and doing the very best? You see, I believe God has shown me something this week. For years I've wondered, Brother Grizzle, how the two families could go through the same basic trial, and yet one family would go towards the Lord and another family would go away from the Lord. And I believe God has given me the answer this week as I study. And I believe our thinking and our position in our heart on the sovereignty of God will help us, beloved, in the days of trial. In other words, beloved, God was good in John's life and Elizabeth's life, but God was good in those other lives as well. I begin to think along the lines of this. They sent Jesus and Joseph and Mary down to Egypt because Herod had commanded that the little boys that were 2 years old and under would be killed. Well, God spared Jesus. Amen. Thank God he wasn't going to die at the hands of Herod. He was going to die at the hands of an almighty God. Amen. God was going to, beloved, give his life on Calvary's cross for our sin. But let me ask you this. What about all of those in Israel that did lose their little boy? What about the weeping? What about the wailing? Amen. Well, sometimes, beloved, when things are going good, we think, boy, God is good. But I want you to know this. It'd be a happy day in your life when you get it settled. God is good, whether things are going good or not. Amen. Whether we're sick or whether we're healthy. Listen, I'm telling you, God is good this morning. Amen. And He cannot change. He's immutable. Amen. The Lord began to work in my heart. You know, Mary, she was, the Word of God said, a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Well, I want to say this. I believe in Israel, she wasn't the only virgin. I don't believe she was the only woman. But she's the one that God chose. Are you listening to me? Amen. And beloved, if our heart is right with God, and God chooses the fellow alongside of us, we ought to be happy that God chose the fellow alongside of us. Say amen. And we ought to understand that there is a sovereign God that's ruling the universe. And it'll actually help us, amen, when we look at the world situation that we're in today. You say, well, that Christmas when Jesus came into the world, things are so much different in the world today. But there's one thing that's still the same. Our God is still sitting at the right hand of the Father. And beloved, He's got this under His control. Amen. And I thank God that He does. Beloved, in the lives of people, the men, we see the sovereign hand of God. I don't know about you, but I believe that what the Bible said in verse 37, let me read verse 36, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Blessed, or behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according unto thy word." And the angel departed from her. I will give you something this morning before I move on to the second thing in the message. When you look here at verse number 12, Zacharias had an encounter with the angel. And the Bible said here, I'll read verse 11 as well. "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. God will trouble our hearts at times. Amen. Even when He's doing something wonderful. Listen, we have a generation today that's tried to pull that holy God down here to our level. Honey, that ain't going to work, amen. When you have an encounter with Him, there'll be some troubling in the waters in your soul. If you look at verse 27, the Bible said, "To a virgin espoused to a man." Well, let me just read verse 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the Bible said, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him," look at this, "she was troubled." I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the scripture said it like this: it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I believe today some people's God, the old man upstairs, things of that nature, I believe it's blasphemous. I believe he's three times holy, according to Isaiah, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and which is to come. Amen. And beloved, we see here the supreme power, the supreme excellence of our God, even in the Christmas story. And I hope that blesses you. Then I want you to see this. I got something here I want to read to you, an illustration this morning, and then we'll move on. You might say, well, Pastor, if God is in control, where do we come into that at? Well, we do have a responsibility. Amen. Watch this. You remember Mary had put herself in a position to be blessed of God. Zacharias and Elizabeth had put themselves in a position. They weren't bitter at God. 88 years of barrenness, but she still wasn't bitter. She still wanted to serve the Lord. I hate to say this, but we're coming out of a season where a lot of people, they spent the entire season in bitterness. They're mad. They're upset. They're angry. They feel like they've been done wrong. Beloved, listen. Job, if anybody had a right to feel that way, Job had a right to feel that way. There wasn't an empty chair at Joseph's table. Job's table. There was 10 empty chairs at the table. And really, when you think about it, there was 20. You say, why? Because they were with their wives in the house. You remember that, don't you? Amen. And beloved, listen, they all lost their life. But Job was the one that said, it's the Lord that gives. See, Job understood something of the sovereignty of an almighty God. It's the Lord that gives. It's the Lord that takes away. And one thing is for sure, whether he's given or whether he's taken, he's God and he's good. And we can understand, beloved, that he, beloved, loves us and cares for us. Spurgeon said this. He said, there is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions. Boy, I tell you, that wouldn't fit in the TV evangelism, would it? Say amen. Listen. And he said, sovereignty overrules them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them all. There is nothing for which the children ought to more earnestly contend to than the doctrine of their master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of his hands, the throne of God and his right to sit upon that throne, for it is God upon the throne whom we trust. Amen. I think that is a wise, beloved statement that's made by him. Watch this now. You say, Pastor, man has a responsibility, and yet God is sovereign. How in the world do you reconcile those two things? One was asked years ago, how do you reconcile God's sovereignty with man's responsibility? And the man said, you never have to reconcile, friends. Amen. Beloved, listen, it's what the Scripture teaches. Listen, here's a good illustration. He said, during these days, a lecture in the Calvin Seminary, R.B. Culper once used the following illustration of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. How many of you all know what a pulley is? How many know what a pulley is? How many know you can take a rope and you can run it over a pulley and you can run it back down here and you can pull on this rope here and this one's going down and that one's going up. But if you pull on both of them equally, what happens? It holds the weight up. Listen to this illustration. He said, I liken them to two ropes going through the two holes in the ceiling over a pulley above. If I wish to support myself by them, I must cling to them both. If I cling only to one and not to the other, I go down. I read the many teachings of the Bible regarding God's election, predestination, his chosen, and so on. I read also the many teachings regarding whosoever will may come, and urging people to exercise their responsibility as human beings. These seeming contradictions cannot be reconciled by the puny human mind. With childlike faith, I cling to both ropes, fully confident that in eternity I will see that both strands of truth are, after all, of one piece. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there's people that's fallen out, but listen, you don't need to fall out over the doctrine, beloved, of God's sovereignty. And you don't need to fall out over the doctrine of man's responsibility. What we need to understand is, beloved, that God is sovereign. And in the Christmas story, we see his hand over and over. God had been silent for 400 years, but he shows up on the scene and he says, I've got some good news. There's a Savior on the way. Mary's going to carry him in her womb. Amen. He was, yes, born to die. That was all part of the plan of God so that you and I might live. Amen. He was going to die for time that you and I might live for eternity. Amen. Thank God. 3 days and three nights. And then He rose from the dead. I want you to think about ministry for just a moment. God's sovereignty in ministry. I have something on my heart, and I'll share it with you in just a moment. But here is John the Baptist. You say, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad John the Baptist chose Jesus. Well, if you read it, beloved, he was just a baby. God chose him. Amen. I don't need to throw anybody for a loop. Let me just say it like this. God's God and He can do whatever He wants to. And God's good when He's doing whatever He wants to. Amen. I don't understand. I'm telling you right now in our country what's going on. It looks to me like if you had a bunch of fifth graders up there, they could do a better job. Amen. And I don't understand. But I'll tell you this. My God's not shocked by it all. Amen. He's laughing at the wisdom of this world. Amen. They think they know it all. They think they can do it without Him. We can't do it without Him. We need Him. John the Baptist here. The Bible said here, He's going to come. He's going to be great. Look at the Bible said in verse number 14, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at His birth, for He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from His mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall He turn to the Lord their God, and He shall go before Him in the Spirit and the power of Elias, that's Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John is the one that stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He said, boy, John had a good plan. Oh, no. It was God that had a plan. And God had a man that was going to stand there and preach. Amen. Was going to shake that finger at them Pharisees and tell them what they were. Amen. He was going to, beloved, preach the Word of God and preach repentance. He said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. I'm telling you, I want you to see, beloved, that in the ministry, it's not man choosing God, but it's God choosing the man, amen, to do the work of God. That's exciting to me. Hannah, do me a favor, honey. They having children's church. Go rob them right quick, will you? Bring Sawyer and Olivia over here. Amen. I don't know where Bob and Charity are. They're over here. Hannah, they said they're over here, honey. I didn't know that. Charity, go get them for me, honey. Thanks, Hannah. I thought they was over here, honey. I'm going to show y'all something. I'm going to tell you, you can say whatever you want to. You can say, well, but your mind don't work right. No, my mind's working right. I'm going to tell you, on two different occasions, God has required of me to leave the church that I pastored. I don't get nervous. This ain't one of them. They've already happened. Amen. You're stuck with me, amen. You're stuck. But now, I want to show you something. I'm going to show you something that I believe will point out the sovereign hand of God. Beloved, and listen, it's not just in the preacher's life, but it's in the life of every one of God's children. And we look at things now, and we don't understand sometimes. I wish they'd hurry up. I'll drink water while they come, Brother Jason. Is that all right? He said it's all right, so I don't care what the rest of you say. Amen. I didn't know they were going to children's church today. I didn't plan for that. Can you see this morning in the life of John how that it was the hand of God that was guiding him? John ended up one day in prison. He told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Amen. Come up here, youngins. Hurry, would you, please? Amen. Amen. You remember that, hi, baby. You remember John, he said, he sent his disciples, he said, go ask Jesus, art thou he? Or should we look for another? Sister Jane, there was a little glitch there. He didn't know if God was still sovereign. He didn't understand his situation. He was hurting. He didn't understand how a man could stand for what's right and yet end up in prison. Amen. Now, the reason I brought Sawyer and Olivia out here, I want to tell you something. Years ago, I was pastoring a church in Churchill, Tennessee. And there were nights, not a few, many, that I laid awake and I wept. There was turmoil. And finally one day, God said, your work here is done. You're finished. I want you to move on. And I did. Now, let me tell you something. I wasn't thinking about the sovereignty of God. All I was thinking about is the hurt that I... Let me just tell you this. If you've ever experienced rejection, there's no hurt in this world like it. There is nothing to be compared to it. Being rejected. Jesus was rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But let me give you something. As I've sat there this week and I've thought about the sovereignty of God and how that he put his hand on John, I could take you back and tell you stories how God called me down between two pews. All I did was went down to pray for America. And I come up preaching. And I've been preaching ever since. And by the grace of God, I'll preach till I can't breathe anymore. Amen. But let me give you this. So I resigned. It looked like that I might be going to pastor the church that I was saved in. Not before I resigned. Now I'm talking about after I resigned. They found out I wasn't pastoring. They called me, so I went up there. And things were going kind of good. There was a burr in one man's saddle. And you know, looking back, I didn't put the burr there. God did. Amen? You see, God's in charge of the burrs too, as well as the blessings. Amen? And so, you might say, well, what in the world does that have to do with these two babies? Well, I had agreed to help in a prison meeting. I'm talking about now the sovereignty, the divine providence of an almighty God. I had agreed to help in a prison meeting. I went to help in that prison meeting just to fulfill my word because I said I would. My situation was altogether different. I'm not pastoring anymore. I have cabinets to build, grass to mow, get ready to preach in another church the next Sunday. But I went on and I did it. Long story short, God showed me on a Saturday morning, I was only going to preach one night or help one day in that meeting. I ended up preaching Thursday night and Saturday night on a team of 12 men, which was unheard of. Nobody preaches twice when you got 12 men, but I did. Well, Saturday morning, I'm reading my Bible, and I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. He took me over to John chapter 15. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. You should go. That word go. God told me right there, Brother Jason, I was going to be a missionary. I was going to go into the prisons. I was going to take the gospel to those men and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. You say, Pastor, I'm not making any sense out of this. Hang on for just a minute and you will. Do you know what happened? 10 years with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Let's just go back now for a moment. I'm not going to resign, God. No, sir. I need my salary. Lord, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to resign. Come here, babies. I just want y'all to hide right here. Hide. Okay. They're hiding. Believe it or not, they're quiet. Is anybody getting the picture? Can anybody see the sovereign hand of an almighty God? You know, what happened? Now, come here a minute. Come here a minute, guys. What happened, Pastor? I'll tell you what happened. I obeyed God. And my daughter met Bob in a Rock of Ages conference in West Virginia. And they kind of got to liking each other. Actually, it was Bob's friend that liked Charity. And Bob just squeezed in. Squeezed another one out. Amen. Oh, Bob didn't care. Now, it'd be a blessing if in the sovereignty of God if I could have these babies without Bob, but I couldn't have done that. Amen. Bob, you know I'm kidding. He's a wonderful son-in-law, and I love him. Uh-oh, I'm being spanked. I'm a baby up here. But you say, Pastor, do you really believe? Let me give you this. 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. And I get a phone call from this church. I didn't take that lightly. I sought the face of God. But let me tell you this. Before I ever knew, I told my wife years ago, I said, honey, I'll never pastor again. Sister Jane, you understand that statement. I know you do. In her heart, later, with her mouth, she said, I knew you would. All I'm saying is this. God is sovereign. God is good all the time. Amen. He was good in the life of John. He's been good in my life. And it scares me to death to think, beloved, that I would ever come to a place in my life where I would buck against God's will for my life. Amen. It's been such a wonderful, wonderful journey. You say, now, Pastor, you talk about the wonderfulness of these youngins. Yeah. But how many remembers the hurt that it started with? How many knows what I'm talking about? Beloved, God is the only one that I know that can take that hurt and turn it around. Amen. And make it a blessing. I love you guys. I'll see you after a while for dinner. Didn't they do good? I wonder sometimes if we really understand the importance of the decisions that we make in our life. I believe we'd seek His face, Brother Gary, if we understood God has a will for my life. God has a way to carry out that will. You know, I don't know about you, but I look back at the sovereign hand of God even before I was saved. I think about the Sunday school teachers that left a mark in my life, the bus driver that drove the church bus, that took me under their arms, left a mark in my life. The two deacons that visited with me when I would have to hide things before I could open the door in my apartment, things that I was ashamed of. I can remember those things. And in the divine providence of God, God was preparing me all along. Amen. Thank God He's sovereign even at Christmas time. And then the Messiah, I'll just say this. Over 700 years prior, Isaiah said, He's coming. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be wonderful. He's going to be Counselor. He's going to be the Mighty God. He's going to be the Everlasting Father. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. And just as Isaiah had prophesied, God, the Sovereign God of the universe, the One who is supreme in His excellence, supreme in His power, the One who has no external control, beloved, He delivered a Savior just like He said He would. I've done a poor job this morning, but I hope you can see what God has put in my heart. I do. I hope you can understand that when things are going great, God is good. When things are not going great, God is still good. One of the things that I believe is going to make heaven heaven is when we get there and our eyes are opened and we begin to think things like, oh, I understand now. Right now, right here, it hurts so bad. But there'll come a day when we're going to understand fully His way was the best way. Understand fully what the Scripture said in the book of Genesis, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He always does right. Let's pray together. Father, thank You this morning for Your people. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for working in my life. Thank You, Lord, that You know what we have need of even before we ask. But God, You said to ask, we should receive. God, You've got people here today that don't yet know You. I pray that this morning they would understand and realize that all the workings up to this point in their life is pointing them to Jesus. I pray they'd understand what a blessing it is to have a good mom, a good dad, to have good friends. And I pray, dear Lord, today that the message would find a lodging place in our hearts, and when the hard times come and the trials come, God, we could, like Job, say, Lord, You give, You take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we ask You in Jesus' name to bless our people, help us today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, just before we have a song of invitation.